Welcome one, welcome all, step right up, ladies and gentlemen, Portal Gaming Podcast episode number 59 is on its way. Howdy everybody, Portal Gaming Podcast is a product of a store called The Portal, which is located in Manchester, Connecticut. For more information, you can check us out, www.timemachineportal.com. You can find us on Facebook, The Portal, and Twitter, at PortalGaming60 is me. I am your host, The Brant, and with me for episode number 59 is not Brian, but instead we have...
Kathy!
Hey, my lovely wife Kathy is here, and we are excited to bring you this episode and talk about mostly games that we've been playing lately, which is the best part of gaming podcasts to be, when people talk about games they've played, even if they don't review... but just talk about what they've been playing and whatnot. So there's that. This episode I entitled, we have to find out which cell this princess of yours is in. And that's the Han Solo line and the princess there being Princess Leia. But we are talking about Heart of Crown, a game about trying to get your princess to the throne from Japanime games that we've been playing lately. So that's where that title came from. Howdy, Kathy. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. I'm excited to have you here. I love
when
you're on the podcast.
Thank you.
My favorites. So thanks for doing that. Tonight, anything new with you?
No, not really.
Awesome.
It's summer. So I don't know what's going on.
Swimming, beaches, relaxing.
I don't know what day it is.
You have a brand new hammock.
I do. I got it for my birthday.
How is it?
I love it.
Nice. Yeah, so that's a fun summer activity. Hey, before we move on, I want to mention that Portal Gaming Podcast is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. So we are glad to be part of that whole crew down there in Florida and, of course, the international network. So you can find more awesome podcasts on DiceTowerNetwork.com. All right, we have some upcoming events. Actually, one major one here. The Silk City Board Game Group is going to be meeting this Saturday, August 5th. They meet from noon to 4:30. They are going to be teaching four games. Yokohama, Unlock, Yamatai, and Lorenzo Il Magnifico. I've played all of these. Kathy, I think you've played Unlock.
I have. Yep, and I played Yamatai too, and I love the Unlock and Escape the Game kind of games, and escape rooms. Those are some of my favorite things to do. I love the puzzles and trying to figure it out. It's awesome.
Yeah, I don't actually know if I ever mentioned on here that you helped design an escape room in our attic.
Yes, I did. It was a surprise for you, actually.
That's right, yeah. So that was that was fun. So those are cool games. I know one of the ones we did, there's a little part that people get really upset because it's really tough and kind of unfairly tough. But overall, those were fun. And that Squeak and Sausage one we flew through.
Yeah.
That one was fun. Cool. And Yamatai, you'd said you didn't remember much about with the boats and the beauty and all that.
I vaguely remember it, to be honest.
Yeah.
We play a lot of different games.
It's a great game. I felt like, I think I played it 7 times in 3 weeks or something.
Wow.
And then I felt like I was kind of done with it and that Five Tribes was better. But I never wanted people to take that review as like, oh, don't play it. It's like, play it. It's great.
Yeah.
But it may play itself out earlier than some other games,
yeah,
you know? So I think there's a great opportunity for people to come to the library, check it out. And for some people, you know, they've just been loving it. So that's different for me. The AP sometimes slowed things down. Definitely want you to play Lorenzo Il Magnifico. That's like so in your wheelhouse. That's just like classic Euro style.
Nice.
Like castles of Burgundy and a bunch of like Orleans and all those, just like Shakespeare. Those just like classic
those are
Euros.
All games I like.
So you definitely would like Lorenzo Il Magnifico. And Yokohama's right there too. I like Le Havre better in Yokohama. I remember you weren't a big fan of Le Havre. That's one of those games you've always said wasn't your favorite, so maybe Yokohama would be a little bit more up your alley. So, did you play Yokohama? No, you were around when we were playing it, though. You've seen it, so if you saw it again, be that. So, cool. Anyway, those are the games that they're playing at the Silk City Board Game Group. That's at the Manchester Library, so obviously if you're local, in Connecticut, then definitely check them out. It's a great time. Jen and Matt, well, Jen does most of the hosting. Her husband Matt helps with various things, and they do a great job. I guess Brian helps host that too with the store, so
yeah.
That's supported there. Awesome. We're just going to jump in then. We're going straight to what's on our table. And so we've been playing Spirit Island.
Yes.
So I brought this back from Dice Tower Con, and we've got a lot of plays in. I feel like we've got 2.5 plays under our belt.
Right.
I think we learned it one night. I do this a lot. So what Kath and I will do is I'll say, okay, tonight let's just learn a game. So I'll put on like a 30-minute timer and explain, and sometimes I only do 5 to 10 minutes of explaining rules, and we start playing and we learn as we go, and then the timer goes off, and then we kind of decide, okay, are we having a blast and we want to keep going, or are we too tired and we're done, and then the next time we play it, we don't have to learn it.
Right.
That works great if you're a couple. If you're gaming with your friends and you have them for a limited time, that doesn't work well. But as a couple, it's great to be like, okay, we could do this for 30 minutes and then be done.
Yep.
So I think we did that with Spirit Isle and then got 2 plays in. I've already talked about it. I love the game. It's solid. It's awesome. So, quick recap for people so they remember. So Spirit Island is a cooperative game. This is from Greater Than Games and Fabled Nexus Games. It's cooperative, and there are invaders that are coming to your island, the Spirit Island, and you are the spirits of the island. And they're really neat. It's like, you know, That Which Creeps in the Dark and lightning falling from the sky. Like, they're all these, like, active, that's the name of them, as opposed to just, like, you are the lightning spirit or you are the fire spirit. They're
right,
like, you know, things from deep within the earth. Or they're really cool names. So very thematic. So you've got all these different characters you can play, and then it's pushing its way towards a heavy Euro. I mean, I think the think is really heavy. I think the play is pretty straightforward. So it's in that medium crunch.
I think it makes a difference, though. The first time I played it, I played a medium difficulty character.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a lot more thinky than the second time I actually played a low difficulty character. And that one seemed pretty straightforward.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, the first time you play, if you're cracking this open and kind of reading it on the spot, like, or you're playing at a game store or something like that, I would say stick with what they tell you to do. Like, set up their intro map, use their intro. They tell you which cards to draft. I think most gamers could deal without doing that.
Yeah.
But it says draft this next, then that. So I mean, if you really wanted to go that way, I suppose if you wanted to play with, like, your gamer kids, because this game's pretty intense, you could tell your kids, okay, draft that one, now draft that one. You could kind of set up an order for them on that. But for most gamers, I feel like you lose something if you're just told what to take next.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
That's not the best. But definitely those low-level difficulty characters are like, because it's a higher difficulty game. You know, it's as best a medium-heavy co-op as you can have. So
yeah.
There's that up front.
And it takes a little bit to learn just how the system works.
Right, yeah.
It's very different. I liked that about it.
Right. So tell us more. Tell us what you liked about it, what you thought about it, etc.
I like that there were different characters to play. And they were all... I only played 2 of them thus far, but they seemed like they were pretty different in how they worked, which is always fun. You gotta learn how to make your character work. The theme is pretty fun. It's different. You're trying to get rid of the explorers, so you're actually the island.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's fun. I like it's pretty. That's important to me in a game, not to be shallow, but
it's very pretty.
It's very pretty.
I like the art a lot.
It's interesting to look at. Yeah.
I would say, so the only part to me that isn't super pretty is the island tiles themselves.
Yeah.
With those patterns at first look very strange. Then as you play the game, it's very functional. Have the art the way it is. And if you take a deeper look, there's actually patterns in there. It almost looks like just solid colors, like the old school map with just solid color. But as you play more, you see that, and it doesn't bother you as much. There is an other side to those boards that I showed you that's a little bit, you know, more classic style looking. But everything else, yeah, I mean, the characters are just, you know, they're so brought to life, and the art on the cards is phenomenal.
Yep.
And those kind of things. So, yeah, I mean, I just think the mechanisms are so good. Like you said, they're so unique, like things you haven't seen before. You're pushing around these Dehan that help defend the island, and if you can push them in certain ways, you get certain effects. And those cards are just so vital. It's like playing a CCG or an LCG. Like, all the card abilities are the game.
Right.
So there's a couple standard things, like, oh, you know, these Dehan will attack back, or, oh, this region, this is exactly what's going to happen. And that predictability allows you to build a strategy, even somewhat long-term. Like, hey, let's plan for over there when that's going to get too big. But then all the cards kind of break those rules, and it says, oh, gain fear and do this and those kind of things. So, well, how'd you feel about the cards and trying to work through all those and that whole thing?
It was good. It was slow at first because, again, you're learning how it works. You're learning the whole system, and you're reading all the cards and trying to figure out what symbols and abilities mean or do and the order of things. But I think that's probably why it would be better to start on a lower complicated right. character. I feel like we kind of did it backwards a little bit. But yeah, once you get that, it's fun. Then you're not thinking about what does this mean so much, but how do I put combinations together most effectively? And
how about the little tokens that you take off your board? So every round, you get a choice in the growth phase. You can remove tokens from your board or draw new cards or get your cards back or gain energy. Mm-hmm. How was that whole decision and the whole, like, building up your engine with putting stuff on the board?
Yeah, that was actually probably some of the most thinky part, which you wouldn't even think because it's just like, oh, you're just taking...
Yeah.
You're giving yourself more resources, but it's setting up your whole turn, like how much energy you'll have to spend and how many cards you'll be able to play and where you'll be able to play them. So it all kind of matters as you go along. So,
and then of course, just as you remove those, you get more energy every round. You get to play more cards. So you're building that natural engine, which is so fun in Euros.
Right.
Especially, you know, I suppose in like a Marathrash style game, it would just be that idea of watching your army get bigger and knowing, like, oh, now I can really go, you know, do some damage with this army. Now I can really score some points with this Euro mechanism engine. Cool. What was the other thing I was going to ask you? Oh, how about player count? Would you play this game by yourself?
Probably not.
Would you play any game by yourself?
Probably not.
Okay. You did play some Agricola solo back in the day.
Actually, yes.
And a couple other, but Agricola, for the most part.
I liked solo.
Yeah.
But I probably, if I was by myself, I would probably do something other than play a game.
Blasphemy on the podcast. Yeah, no, makes sense. How about four players? Would you play this game with four people?
I don't know. It would have to be, I'm kind of an impatient player. So it would have to be people who knew how to play and were pretty fast.
Yeah, so I think I'm in the same boat as you, where, like, I would say I love this game. I think it's amazing. You said you really, really like it.
Yes.
Where I'd want to be careful is I tell people that, and I'm like, okay, we're going to get copies in the store, or, like, if you're at Gen Con, buy this game. And then all of a sudden people sit down, four people at the table, crack open the game, and that experience becomes 3 hours and heads in your hand. And then it's like, it was too long. Because I think at four players the first time, it's going to be a slog.
Yeah.
And so I would really suggest, if you have the opportunity to play this with two and maybe three, try to do that for your first play. If you could get two copies and have these two people play a two-player and these two people play a two-player, and then next time you could come together and play a four-player game. Because I think once people kind of understand the idea, even switching characters isn't brutal once you get down some of the mechanisms. Obviously, it's going to change, and the characters are varied. So that's my only fear, is that people go out and they try it, and we've been playing it two-player because it's literally like probably 30 to 45 minutes per player. So when you start getting to four players, you're talking about an over 2 hour game, probably 3 hours if you're cracking the box open.
Yeah.
But with two, again, like our Joy of Gloomhaven, it's in that like 60 to 90 minute wheelhouse, which is just perfect. Like, yeah. Oh, whatever, that was fine. So there's that. Cool, Spirit Island. So the next game we've been playing on I've definitely been playing it on repeat. You play with me a bunch. Is Heart of Crown. So can you explain? Just explain it.
I'll explain it. Okay. So in my opinion, it's kind of a cross between Dominion and Ascension, in a princess anime style, which is interesting. So there is a deck of cards that are actually several decks mixed together. So like Dominion, there are several very small decks of five cards apiece. Mm-hmm. And you pick which decks you're going to use for the game. And then, unlike Dominion, you shuffle them all together. And they come out eight at a time. Kind of like Ascension, except that they have to be eight different cards on the table at all times. So then you're stacking them like Dominion. So what you're trying to do is actually back a princess and give her enough succession points, I guess is what they're called, to make her queen. So you are building your own deck with cards from the center, and you are trying to get money to begin with because you have to first, I guess you're buying a princess. You have to have enough money to get a princess to come on your side, and then she gives you a special ability, which is unique. So then like Dominion, again, you're trying to get money in your deck to then be able to buy the point cards, which are succession points. So that so at some point you're switching from trying to get money to trying to get to buy the points. And then unlike Dominion, you don't keep the points in your deck. They don't count until you take the action to then play them to your princess, and you have to beat the other person to the 20 points to win the game.
Nice.
Does that seem like how it is?
Yeah, no, definitely. So the only other thing to note is, like, there are cards you can take out of your deck and put down that are negative points.
Yes.
So, like, yeah, instead of 20, you may now be at negative 8, so you've got to get 28 points. But that's all part of the system. And then the princesses all have different abilities when you back them.
Yes.
So that's cool. You, like, draft a pretty major special ability. I mean, one of them is simple. She's just, like, you get 6 points. 6 succession points.
Right.
But the others have cool abilities. Like, you can take an extra turn every now and often. Or you get an action card back. And cool stuff, which is pretty fun. So I've really been enjoying Heart of Crown. The other night, I played a game of it where we both got to 20 because everybody, you don't get equal turns, but if somebody wins, the other person gets a chance to win. So we both won, and then you had to go to sudden death. You have to play to 30 points. And it sounds like, oh my gosh, that must take forever. But it doesn't, because your deck is so primed by then. Like, it's so efficient.
Right.
You just, like, boom, grab another thing, boom, grab another thing, and next thing you know, like, it's not too long. So it really does feel like a football or a baseball sudden death. Like, okay, oh my gosh, they're going to score. I've got to score now. Like, I've got to get the points and get there. So really neat. What was your initial impression of Heart of Crown?
I like it. We haven't played Dominion in a long time. I feel like we played it a lot when we first got it. So it reminded me a lot of that. And, yeah, I really liked it.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, I haven't played Dominion forever, and as we're playing this, I was like, this is Dominion. I forgot that I love Dominion.
Right.
Like, there's those pictures, like, in the scrapbook of us, like, playing Dominion on Christmas.
Yeah, that's true.
When I got it, because I just carried it everywhere, and we played, like, on the floor at, like, Christmas parties and everything.
Yeah.
Because we were just, like, totally in love with Dominion, and I introduced it to everybody. But then, like, other deck builders came along, and I liked the legendary ones, and now I really like games where, like, you actually deck build and move stuff on the map. And I still love that stuff. I love Clank, you know, and Tyrants in the Dark, not as much, but Clank is so good. But I went back to play this, and I was like, no, this is so fun, because it's just boom, boom, especially with two. Like, boom, 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 back and forth, doing your actions. Like, you know, you're taking 40 plus turns in a game, right? You know, so like there's a lot you're doing. You're shuffling through that deck so many times. You're like, oh, there's that card. Oh, I love this card. Like you get so excited. But then it adds those layers to Dominion that like, ooh, I get to draft an individual power. I mean, very simply, when they release expansions, because they already exist because this game came over from Japan. When they release those and they say, hey, there's six more princesses like that, that I could just take that. Right. You could sell me a $10 pack with that in it. You know what I mean? Or a $5 pack. I'd be happy to just have more princesses to draft because their powers are pretty fun. And then that idea that you build up your deck and you get the cards in, which you're doing in Dominion, but then you have to get them out of your deck. Right. I love that. And the only game that does that better is Valley of the Kings, which you have played, but you might not remember. And you have to, like, entomb your cards. What's different there is you actually have to get rid of, like, useful cards. Like, cards that have abilities.
Right.
You have to take out. And that's really neat, but it's really tough to wrap your head around, like, when do I get cards and use their abilities, and when do I get rid of them? This, it's a little bit more straightforward. Like, Okay, those score points, so then I need to get rid of them. So, I just really like those extra mechanisms. What do you think about, like, I know you're trying to remember Dominion, but how does it compare to you to Dominion?
I think I like it better. I think it just adds that extra little bit. Also, it just is another thing that not all of the cards are available all of the time.
Yep.
So that is actually, I kind of like that because then you're not making the exact same deck as the person you're playing against.
Right.
If there's like, you find one way that seems to be better, it's not as easy to make sure you do that.
Yeah.
You can't just fall into a rut of, oh, well, with this group of cards, you have to get this one and this one to go together in order to win. It seems less likely to make that happen, to force you down a path.
Yeah, and it's cool. It's easy enough to play with Zephra, our daughter.
Yeah.
Like, it was fine. You know, she totally got it. She enjoyed it. The theme is great for her. Like, princesses are super cool to her. I feel like that's its biggest hindrance. Like, you know, for lack of a better way to say it, but like, is some dude going to walk into the portal and be like, all right, Heart of Crown, and drag it out, you know, and buy that, and then play it with a whole bunch of people, like, or bring it to their family part? Like, that's going to be a tough thing. So, like, that Rococo game where you had to, like, make the dresses and do all that, that one's, like, the classic example. People are just like, I don't want to make dresses. Even though the game is amazing, there's just some of those themes that just don't, you know, don't excite people. Similar to some people, like, look, I don't want to play a hostage negotiator. That's just not a fun situation for me. A little different.
Well, that's obviously, like me, I don't like space games.
Yeah.
And you're constantly getting me to try to play space games, and I just don't like them.
Yeah, that's why I try to bring them down onto Mars. Like, so we're just worrying about terraforming Mars. So yeah, I feel like the theme is the hardest sell here in some sense. It's a great sell to a certain crowd, but I've just been saying, look, I don't care. This theme is fun. It's fun that it has a theme. I mean, Dominion, it's so, like, I don't know, you're just gathering buildings. Here, at least you're gathering things to back a princess and get her, you know, to the crown. So, the heart of crown, whatever that means, we're not really sure.
Yeah, it doesn't really make sense.
But, yeah, it's a two thumbs up game to me. I love it. It's a blast. I'd love if they had expansions already. I'm ready to go. But we obviously, there's, you know, what, 20 different cards in there, and you shuffle 10 in. So there's plenty in there for variety and whatnot. So cool. Heart of Crown, Japanime Games. So last game is kind of leading to our discussion topic. We're like kind of bridging here. Short podcast today, short discussion topic. But we played Agricola the other night. We're like, oh, let's play Agricola again. We haven't played that in a while. Yeah, definitely. And I was like, with two won't be so bad. Like, I always, you know, my running joke with Agricola is always like, so if you want to play Agricola, you have to deal out all the cards on Thursday and then play the game on Friday so everybody can analyze their 14 cards that get dealt at the start of the game, because those are pretty important. But we did a good job. It didn't take us long. It didn't drag out.
Yeah.
But what was interesting was we were having fun, we were building our engines, we were blocking each other a little bit, but it was fine. It's like, oh, you took the wood, so I'll have to get in line, so next turn I can take that first. And then we got to the last two rounds of the game, and it was just like,
it was brutal.
Rude, brutal block fest. Like, oh, you took my stuff. Oh, what do you need? I'll take that. Oh, what do you need? I'll take that. Oh, I'll take all the sheep and just slaughter them all. Like, whatever it was. And we walked away, like, feeling very let down by the game. Like, it was very anticlimactic. We didn't like that our best move was, like, I didn't like that my best move was to block you. It would have been fine if it was like, oh, like, I really need that. And you could just go over here to get this slightly less, you know, or significantly less good thing, but at least it's still available. But it was literally like just completely blocking people out of being able to do anything. So I felt like for that engine we had built, and you finally get to play it out with your five workers in the last round or two, you couldn't because there was nothing good to do.
Right.
But, and I mean, that, anyway. So what were your feelings on that game? And
I have very mixed feelings on Agricola. I really like it. Mm-hmm. I like the puzzle of it, trying to maximize your points. And like you have to do a little bit of everything. You can't just go, oh, I'm gonna just plow my whole field. You have to, because there's negatives if you don't have at least one of everything. Mm-hmm. The thing that I don't like about it is it's so frustrating to me to like work all this out and then not be able to do it because of like one resource that is just impossible to get, or I don't know. It's so frustrating to me. I don't like being blocked in games. I don't like games like that.
And it's interesting because I get it. Like, I understand where people would say, like, but it's all, like, you got to pre-plan. You got to know, and you got to anticipate what other people are going to do, and you got to be first to something and all that. And that's all well and good, and even if I do that. But then I just feel like, well, I won because they didn't do their optimal path. It wasn't my engine versus your engine. Let's see who wins. It was just, oh, I cut you short in the middle here, so now you're just sputtering, and then I just kind of roll to victory, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, your car breaks down, and so I win the Daytona 500. Like, but not like, oh, it was neck and neck, and I beat you in the end.
Right.
It's like, oh, you crashed and burned, and so then that's it. Or vice versa, you know, whatever it is. And so I don't know. Like, I don't know. As I'm playing more games, I know I've had a discussion with Brian that, like, winning has come way down for me. Winning is fine. I want to win, and I play to win.
Yes.
But if I don't win, it's fine. It's really easy when it's a new game, or if I'm playing with three new people and I'm teaching and I don't win, I'm focused on teaching. Mm-hmm. I still want to play. I usually am not somebody to sit out and teach people.
Right.
I still want to play, but if I don't win, it's not a big deal. So I wonder if that like drive to figure out, like, oh, I'm going to cut you off at just the right moment, you know, is going down.
Yeah. And this one, I think in games, I want to know I did the best I could. And so I don't like when someone throws a wrench in that. Like, I'm going to optimize this to the best that I can, and then all of a sudden, you can't.
Yeah.
Because you have to get Reed early when it would really be better to get the stone because that could get taken too. But
yeah.
If you don't get Reed now, you'll never have it later, or you could be blocked. I don't like that. It feels like,
well, the more Euro a game gets, the less I want that too. Like, I just want it to be my brain versus your brain.
Yeah.
Because we haven't played in a while, but we play Ashes, and we played Star Wars LCG, and we played a bunch of other stuff. You know, even something like Lost Cities, and it's like, or Seven Wonders Duel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, my job is completely directly to block you.
Right.
Like, a blocking you action is equivalent the entire game to me being offensive.
Right.
But we do fine with that. Because that's what the game is.
Right.
And we like it in that game. I think those games also bring the time frame down.
Right.
Most of those games play in under an hour. All those games. So I think that helps with that. But it's like, yeah, I have no problem saying, oh, that's Kathy's best card. I'm going to draft it in Seven Wonders Duel. Like,
right. Yeah, right.
You know, but I think part of it is because another better card comes along.
Right.
Right? So it's like, oh, I took a really good card for you now, but something better comes along later.
Or...
not you're just sunk.
Equivalent or... mm-hmm. At least fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Decent.
Or in something like an LCG... boom, I play that key card that cancels your card, that stops you, that blocks you, that taps all your creatures, and then I come in for basically a killing blow and the game's over. So it's like,
right.
That was the coup de grace, and now the game's over, right. We're not playing for another.
And it's like, that's versus anyway.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's a level of aggression that I don't want in a puzzle game.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So keep your attacking out of our Care Bear games. Yeah, so that's the thing I'm wondering. Am I becoming more Care Bear? You know, that's the Rotto phrase of like, I don't want to attack. But I don't think so. Because I think, like you said, if we played Agricola and then we went and played Ashes right afterward and we're just, you know, playing cards and going out, we'd have no issue.
Right.
We'd just be like, yeah, totally. Oh, sweet move when you, you know, completely destroyed that character or whatever.
Right.
That was awesome, you know. It's memorable and all that, so. Yeah, so that's that. So we still like Agricola, but now I think I gotta drag out Caverna, and we gotta try that one, where it's a little bit more open and see. And I bet both you and I are gonna say, yep, we like the Caverna piece better. I love those cards in Agricola, and they are smarter, and it is more clever, and you are a more intelligent person if you do well at Agricola. But that ending was just such a letdown. It was like, okay, we both managed to not score points at the end, or in the last rounds, and just... stumble to the end, and then, oh, one person had more points, and that's
right.
The game. Like, kind of where we were. Nobody got to run their final engine, so we've got a Caverna date now. Be good. Awesome! Let us know what you think. Are you becoming more Care Bearish, or are you loving the attacking that is arising in Euros and whatnot, and you're hoping for more take-that mechanisms? I don't know. Maybe we're wimps. We'll find out, but we likes what we likes, so there's that. Awesome. Let's finish this thing out with a little Linky. Dun, 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 dun. You want to go first or second?
I'll read your card first.
All right. So we're going to play this game Linky, and I'm going to try to make sure that Brian gets copies of this game into the store because it's super fun. He may have them over at the Time Machine, again, if you're local. If you're not local, then you can just find this game somewhere else or fly up to Connecticut and buy from our store. That'd be awesome. This game is really fun, and... Kat's going to ask me four questions, and I'm going to answer all those questions perfectly, and then I'm going to link those four answers to get the Linky final answer, and then I will ask her a question.
All right. Where do Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch live? Blank Street.
Sesame.
You would find your heart line and your headline on your...
My heart line and my headline? Newspaper? I don't know.
What sort of branch do you hand someone if you want to make peace?
Olive branch.
Which Van Gogh painting sold for a then record $40 million in 1987?
Starry Night. That's the only Van Gogh painting I know. But it's Olive and Sesame. So something has to be things in a salad, things on a sandwich, dressings. Am I anywhere near close?
The clue is black gold.
What? Pirates? So you gotta help me with the second one. Heartline and headline? Those are things on my palm?
Yes.
So I got palm, sesame, olive. Are those trees? Palm, palm branch, palm leaf, sesame? I don't know how palm and sesame are related to each other.
An olive,
black gold. Those are types of oils?
Yes.
Hey!
Hey!
So hold on. So what's the fourth question?
Van Gogh painting.
Some kind of oil? Have I heard of this painting before?
Probably sunflowers.
Oh, sunflower oil. All right, cool.
Sorry, I picked a hard one.
That's okay. No worries. All right, I think I only know Starry Night. Might be the only Van Gogh painting.
Gotcha.
Sunflowers, you'll probably show it to me, and then I'll go, oh, yeah, I totally have seen that one before, but didn't realize it. Okay, which city is known as the Windy City?
Chicago.
Which European country is recognized as the birthplace of democracy?
Greece.
What is the name of Lady Gaga's first album?
I don't know.
Which pet was considered sacred to the ancient Egyptians?
Cats. Musicals.
Yes. So do you know what Lady Gaga's first album was called?
I'm gonna live forever. Fame.
Yeah. The Fame. Cool. So that awesome. Is Linky. Super fun. We just carry the box around with us everywhere we go lately.
It's a good car game.
Yeah. So there's a whole game associated. We're supposed to be able to write down the different things, and then the first team that shouts it out, and all the cards have letters on the back of them, and if you spell Linky, L-I-N-K-E-E, by collecting enough cards, then you win. You can also trade cards in to discard other people's cards, which, again, here's our Care Bear. We don't like playing like that. Or discard any three to just get any letter you want from the box. So if that sounds like fun to you, definitely check it out. It's a great, like Caddy said, if you're going on a road trip, it's awesome. Super fun. I think that's it. That's episode 59. We did it. Woo! So we talked about some great games. We had a good time. This is our, this might be our shortest episode ever. Coming in at 36 minutes. This is like Portal Gaming Podcast Blitz. That's a little shout out to our Board Game Blitz, the ladies over there that do a 30-minute podcast. So
excellent.
We were closer to that. So awesome. Thanks, Kath.
You got it.
Did you have some fun?
I had fun.
Nice. Talking about some games. Playing games is more fun, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, playing games is more fun than talking about games. I think that should be true.
Yeah, I think it should.
Nice. Awesome. Well, until next time, I am your host, The Brant, and with me is...
Kathy.
And we hope you step into the portal. Portal Game Podcast is a product of Time Machine Toy and Hobby Store / The Portal, which is located at 71 and 60 Hilliard Street in Manchester, Connecticut. This episode was recorded on August 2nd, 2017. Please send any questions to us at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. Portal Gaming Podcast is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. For more awesome podcasts, visit www.dicetowernetwork.com. Hey, as always, thanks for listening.